Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is the midweek edition. It's March 11th, 2015, a Wednesday. Hope you're having a good day. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with our live streaming for you at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. BuckmasterShow.com, also the place for all of our podcasts and our complete show archive, available for you anytime, anywhere on BuckmasterShow.com. We're going to begin with a newsmaker interview with Ward 5, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat Richard Fimbres. So much to talk about city-wise news this week. Then at the bottom of the hour, we're joined by David Safir, who blogs about education for the Tucson Weekly. Also very serendipitous to be having David on, because there's no shortage of education news this week. The Buckmaster Show live line open for you at any time during the hour at 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Councilman Fimbres, he would be happy to hear from you. Also, our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Let's welcome now the Ward 5 Councilman. Councilman Fimbres, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Bill. How are you doing?
Very good, very good.
A lot of busy
time at City Hall. The residents of Tucson had a chance to meet the two finalists for the city manager job. Both of these candidates are from Cochise County. There were some 40 applicants. Michael Ortega, who is the Cochise County Administrator, and Sierra Vista Assistant Manager Mary Jacobs are the two finalists. Some are wondering, Councilman, why Cochise County? Are these two ready for prime time?
I think that's what the community wanted to interview these folks, and I know that we sent them through some rigorous interviews yesterday. We were there interviewing several of the candidates, and we asked that these two come forward, and last night the good citizens of Tucson got to interview them and ask them. And this morning they're there with our department directors on our other team, and then they're meeting with labor groups also. And then we're going to be meeting again today to get their input and find out what the citizens of Tucson, our labor groups, and our leadership for the city think about these two candidates. Yeah, they both come from southern Arizona, which means they know our community well.
Do you expect a decision even as early as this week?
It depends on what the input is and what my colleagues have to say.
Well,
Let me tell you that the interim city manager, Martha Durkin, has done a great job at leading the city. You know, we've been in harm's way with this economic downturn ever since I've been on the council. We've had lots of challenges, and we've taken a lot of those challenges and made them into opportunities for our city to grow. And I think that's what we want to continue, that momentum and moving it forward.
But she is not interested, I guess, in the job.
I think she's got some family issues that she wanted to talk about. My ideal, she was in my mind, she's been excellent.
Well, so city manager, that's obviously a big decision that is facing the council. The judge yesterday, Judge Burry, the U.S. District Judge, made a decision about the pod situation, the pod people, as they have been called, a group of homeless in downtown. These people now have been given notice that it's time to move on, and I believe the deadline is Friday. Do you expect them to go peacefully, or is this going to be...
Bill, we're hoping. The judge made it clear yesterday that his ruling didn't preclude us from taking the steps that we need, and I know yesterday our good officers in blue, TPD, provided written and spoken notice to persons occupying the areas. And they have by 6 p.m. on Friday to either abandon or move those places and relocate, or to have us confiscate them. And I'm hoping that people will go peacefully. We've had our social service organizations trying to meet with these folks several times during this whole time. Primavera, the Catholic Social Services, you know, the Salvation Army, have been out there doing assessments and seeing what these individuals need. And I know Pima County has also been doing that stuff. So I think we're ready. I'm hoping that the folks will move along, and we are also bringing this back to Mayor and Council to look at a location. I think you've heard about the Denver model that folks have been looking at to see if we can adopt, because homelessness is not a crime, but we want to address the conduct and define what camping is. So these are things that we're going to be brought back to Mayor and Council also to strengthen, and hopefully the citizens will that are occupying this area will move along, and we'll be able to get them into some of the shelters that are available.
But the police have been out there giving these people the word. It is time to move on.
Yes, sir.
What did you think of the mayor's State of the City address on Friday, Councilman?
I think that Jonathan hit it right on the nail. We have we're making these challenges into opportunities for the city, and we've been moving forward. And I knew Jonathan is, when he came on board, he hit the floor running, and he's been doing a good job with his five T's, you know, technology, trade, transportation, tourism, and teaching. So we're moving in the right direction, and a lot's been done. You know, when I came on in 09, you heard about the Rio Nuevo and how we couldn't work together. You know, we heard about all the issues with Rio Nuevo, and now we're working hand in hand with those things, and we've done a lot of good things. I think Fletcher McCluskey over there has shown, and the Rio Nuevo board have done a really good job of seeing what the Tucson's needs are and how we can grow this community.
790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. I think we have a call ready for you now, Councilman. Terry would like to speak with you. Go ahead, Terry.
Yes, sir. Richard, how are you?
How are you doing today, sir?
Thank you for your time, and I appreciate it. I'm not in your district or ward, but I would vote for you because you have a clear record, a track record that we can be all proud of.
Thank you, Terry.
And I really mean it. That's no BS. I want to say this, Richard. There's some Target stores throughout the United States that are going to be closed. This is not new news. You might have heard it on one of the radio, Channel 9, perhaps. Target stores, 200 to 400, to give pink slips to the people who worked there for a long time. Now, this is not about Target here. We're talking about the latest of technologies of California relocating. If anybody can bring jobs, my friend, you're the man. You're the man. To relocate, do whatever you got to do. Throw the red carpet, throw the red meat out. Tell them we're the best in the weather. Do what you got to do to sell Tucson. This is what it's all about, my friend. And to relocate, and high technology, Silicon Valley, and everybody here. Look, we don't know what's going to happen. Frank Antonori, the great Frank Antonori, a different party, said that don't expect DM folks to be there forever, and we need to bring real, honest to God, high-paying jobs, Bill.
All right. Thank you, Terry. I think everybody would probably agree with Terry that we need to bring high-paying jobs to the
area.
Thank
you, Terry. And Bill, you're right. And next Tuesday, Mayor and Council, we'll be voting on the final the development agreement and the plot payment in lieu of tax agreement for the Home Goods Distribution Center to be located in my ward down on East Corona. And that's a big org group, too, that the trio and many people have worked to bring that group there, and they're relocating and down here. And that means some good jobs. That's 410 jobs that's going to grow into 910 total. So things are moving forward. I'd love to welcome Target and any other big corporation. You know, these great snowstorms and stuff that have been hitting have really affected the country. There, a lot of people are losing their work hours. Schools are closing. And that's impacted. So you come down here, and we got 70-degree weather, 80-degree weather today. So it's beautiful. And these are opportunities. I know the trio, our economic development team, has put together a good packet. The home goods, you're going to see the first time the Global Economic Development District incentive program utilized that Councilwoman Romero and Scott and myself put together, and it affects Wards 5, 4, and 1. So those are positive things that are happening. You know, I think I've told you, Bill, before that we live off sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work closely with the business community to generate that. If folks don't want kid co-fares to go up or bus fares to go up, We got to find the resources to keep those prices reasonable. And that's why we need the business community. We need to generate that.
And when would home goods, when will that, what's the timetable, Richard, for that?
They're going to be doing stuff this spring. Hmm. Once we put this in place, they're going to be moving forward. So this is very positive. You know, we've had lots of growth in the city. And the mayor talked about annexations and things that we're doing. We've had home goods, the distribution center. We had modular mining. We've had VXI Solutions, Mr. Carr, Cade Industries has expanded, Shared Services, APAC Pharmaceuticals, Costco and Curacao are many of the businesses that are in Ward 5 now. So things are happening, and we need to make them happen. We need to put people back to work.
All right. When we continue with Councilman Fimbres, I'm going to ask him about an issue that he has been trying to and championing, trying to get that postal processing center from closing here in Tucson. We'll get an update from the councilman as we continue the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. I will be right back with Councilman Fimbres.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
Don Pooley.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
I thought I just saw you.
Diana Cannon.
Thanks for coming.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
I know that face.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, a newsmaker interview with State Senator Kelly Ward. The senator may challenge John McCain in a Senate run. Plus, the monthly showdown with Sean McCluskey and David Morales. Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, The Voice, and always on buckmastershow.com. That's the place for anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and show archive. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Hello, Bill Buckmaster with you. 12:20 now on our midweek edition. We have Ward 5, Tucson City Councilman Richard Fimbres with us on the live line. And Richard, what is the latest on trying to get that processing center from closing, the postal center?
Well, Bill, this marks the fourth year of the fight to keep Cherry Bell open. It was slated to close in 2011. But the fight led by George Khalil, Senator Andrea D'Alessandro, Matt Lauss with the Grand Canyon Institute, and our federal lobbyists, Terry Bracey and Terry Tucker, along with my ward staff, especially Mark Kerr, my chief of staff, have been able to keep this thing going. On several occasions this year alone, the post office said Cherry Bell would close in March and April and May, and now it's July. The new postmaster, General Megan Brennan, is working with a comprehensive postal reform bill that will have wide support. This is legislation in Congress, H.R. 54, that would deal with the Cherry Bell situation for which the mayor and council voted to publicly support. The Post Service Inspector General criticized the USPS for not doing their required federal impact studies needed to justify the closure. Our federal lobbyists researched and found that during 2011-2015, processing centers that were deemed for closure have studies done for which the USPS determined they should not be closed. Just three examples were in Cincinnati, Detroit, and Boston. The one in Buffalo is still open after the USPS gave it two additional years. The population in Cincinnati is 297,000, Boston is 645,000, Detroit is 688,000, and Buffalo is 250,000. To our population is 520,000, and the region is about 1 million, and no study has been done. Congressman McSally has expressed her interest in trying to help the situation as well, and I will be meeting with her this week to discuss Cherry Bell and to formulate a stronger strategy to keep Cherry Bell open and Tucson to get its postmark back. And you know Congressman Grijalva, when Congressman Pastor was in office, have also helped along with Congressman, several of the congressmen from the Arizona have all signed on, and also the state legislature under the leadership of Senator D'Alessandro have been working on this.
Well, I'm confused because people are saying it takes sometimes up to 5 days already now for a letter that is dropped in the mail here in Tucson to come back to Tucson after it goes to Phoenix. So is most of the mail now going up to Phoenix already?
Yes, it gets stamped. And now we've even seen stampings from Austin, Texas.
What?
Yes, and it takes longer. I know that's why George Khalil, the mail delivery is vital to his business.
Yeah.
Along with about 26,000 other small businesses. And his is not a small business, but the small businesses we also want to look at. And they are directly impacted. I think earlier this week on the news, you saw some elderly seniors talking about their mail and their medications being late. And then I know that some veterans have also spoken up about their military documents and also their medications being late for delivery. So they have made some changes that have created big delays, and they can't tell us, and they won't tell us what formula they have used. So with hopefully with the Congresswoman McSally and Megan Brennan working together, we can find solutions to this problem.
Yeah, and you're talking to a small businessman. I rely on checks. I own this radio show, and believe me, when I don't get a check and it takes 3 to 5 days to get it, and this is not a knock on Joe, who is a loyal listener, my postal carrier, and all Joe's friends, they listen to the program, and yeah, they do the best they can. And I think they're actually embarrassed that it's taking so long around town, but it's not their fault because it goes to Phoenix.
Exactly. The labor groups for the Postal Service have been working with us hand in hand. I know Connie down here has done a great job, and I know the professionals in the Postal Service have done a good job, too, in trying to get that service done. But we're not done, but, you know, they were supposed to close 4 years ago, Bill, and we've kept the doors open. They made some changes, and we're hoping that they'll make some changes for the better.
All right, let's go to the live line. Matthew is with us, wants to talk about the Postal Service, I believe. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, you know, I just want to thank Councilman Fimbres and yourself, Bill, for following up on this issue, because I do not believe that the business community truly understands what it means if Cherry Bell closes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a significant part of the entire Southern Arizona community. And my understanding, Councilman Fimbres, is the latest quarterly reports from USPS reflect, again, another increase in packages, which is not unexpected given the way things are. I mean, but there has been a significant decline down to less than 2% now in regular mail, suggesting that the economy has finally hit bottom with regards to regular mail, and that they are expecting growth, which is completely opposite of the trigger that they suggested in the compromise legislation. Won't even get close to what would have been the trigger if they had used that as a formula, if they had ever passed postal reform. Can you comment on that? Thank you.
Thank you.
I think, Matt, I want to thank you for your work on this also, because Matt has been also on the national level really helping us keep the doors open for this. And also, the person I left out was Mike Barney with the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber has been doing a yeoman's job also to help us. And that, yes, we need to continue to move forward on this and make the changes that are needed so that the Postal Service can survive and compete with the private sector. And that's important. And I know that they've been hamstrung with having to prepay their retirement, which puts them in the red once they come in with a good quarterly report. Having to pay those things up front doesn't help them much.
All right. We're about 3 more minutes with you, Councilman, before we let you go. I want to ask about the bond. Are we going to see some kind of a bond election in November? Or what's your feeling on that?
I think the County Bond Advisory Committee is going through the final review of the proposals to submit to the Board of Supervisors for their consideration. Our mayor and council have given final approval to the city proposals, totaling about $102 million, which is including putting the refurbishment of the historic Black Dunbar School back on the table. The total bond package, according to the county administrator recommendation, should be about $640 million. The city of Tucson has 54% of the population and submitted proposals totaling about 15% of the overall total. In turn, a proposed open space initiative would have $95 million go to buy land. The city has done, we've done our part. I think it's time the Board of Supervisors to consider this. It's ultimately their decision whether they're going to put it on the bond or not. I know that, that there's been discussion should the city then go after another 5 years of street repair. 409, I know the mayor has talked about it, Steve Kay has talked about it, Paul Cunningham has talked about it, about the, we've done our due diligence and we had about $40 million that we're reapplying to the street repair. And, you know, 80% is going to arterials and 15% is going to residential. And a lot of the calls we're getting now are about residential areas.
All right.
They need repair.
I want to take a quick call here, going back to the Postal Service situation. Cynthia has been kind enough to wait and call
yes,
in. Go ahead, Cynthia.
I'm listening to all these problems of the post office and cutting costs. And you hear so much about theft from post, from the post boxes that people have. in my neighborhood, they have those, you know, multi ones with the keys where,
yes.
you know, people just kind of walk up half a block and get their mail, and it's a lot safer than those mailboxes that just open. I would think if they would put those in different neighborhoods, it would cut down immensely on the manpower hours.
Yeah. Well, Cynthia, you bring up a real quick point, and I'll let Richard comment as well. We've had a huge theft problem up in our area in the central foothills, and the neighbors have gotten together, and we really have put padlocks on our mailboxes to try to protect them, but there's been a tremendous amount of mail theft in the area. Go ahead, Councilman.
Thank you, Cynthia, for your call. I think that that's already in moving. I know that they're looking at in neighborhoods putting a box that can be secured, so it makes it easier for the driver. It shortens his the amount of time that he has to go out and deliver the mail. Instead of going individually to each house, he goes to one area and he puts the mail into the six or seven places where he needs to. So that's coming. I'm not sure when they're going to implement it in Pima County or the city of Tucson.
All right, Councilman, thank you. A good session with you, a good half hour. I appreciate you spending a portion of your a noon hour with us. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Bill, thank you, and thank Doug Martin. And I tell you, when the economy was bad, KBOI stepped up, and Doug Martin, and we worked on opening all those pools up.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug was key on that, and a number of community people.
All right.
And you guys do a great job for our community.
Thank you very much, and I will pass those greetings on to Doug Martin, the owner of this radio station. It's 12:30 at KVOI and on the Buckmaster Show. Lots to talk about with David Safir, including we'll have a clip from Governor Ducey, who was on Wake Up Tucson this morning talking and justifying this budget as it pertains to education. That's coming up next on Buckmaster.
Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control is announcing they now have pigeon services with a pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ Five Star Pest Control's pigeon trapping and exclusion program, and you will be pleased. Whew, getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Thank you.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Once a month, we're joined by David Safir. David blogs about education in the Range column at TucsonWeekly.com. David also writes a column for the Northwest Explorer. David, how are you? How's your week going so far?
I'm doing well. My week is going very well, except for all the bad news that's coming out of Phoenix. But personally, I'm doing fine.
Well, why don't we start this session off, and by the way, 790-2040, if there's anything that folks hear David Safir say they do not agree with, or if they agree with him, give us a call and let's hear from you. But we're going to go to a clip. Governor Doug Ducey was on the Wake Up Tucson program this morning with Chris and Joe, and he talked a little bit about education and the budget that he has before him. I don't know if he's officially signed it, but I expect he will. He has 10 days to do so. Let's hear what he says about K through 12 education.
Well, a lot of people weren't happy that we directed money to the classroom, that we said Arizona is below the national average in terms of classroom spending. And that's really where we know education happens, between a teacher and a student inside the classroom. So we did direct those dollars towards the classroom, more money, $134 million. We also realized that there are some districts that are already getting that done. So we didn't want to punish them. We didn't want to be like the federal government and have a one-size-fits-all, top-down solution. So we provided some flexibility, but net-net total dollars, there will be more money in K-12 education. It, in fact, will be the most money that has ever been spent in the history of the state of Arizona in K-12 education.
Okay, David Safir, it sounds like the governor says, he didn't say plenty of money, but he did say the most money ever going toward K-12 education.
I'm going to assume that Governor Ducey is not a math illiterate. Now, I'm an English major, so math isn't my greatest field, but he was a businessman, and I'm sure he understands numbers, and I'm sure he understands that when you have more students in Arizona, and we have more students in Arizona, that raising the amount of money total you spend doesn't raise the amount that you spend per student. And in fact, they're cutting the amount they spend per student by a fractional amount, and they're not putting back in the $330 million that the court says that they, like fathers who owe child support, have not been paying their child support, their school support. So I don't think he's a functional math illiterate, so I'm going to assume that he is purposely playing fast and loose with the facts and hoping that nobody caught it. But we caught it.
And what's this about $134 million more directed to the classroom?
Well, he's talking about the fact that it's a shift. He's robbing money from the left-hand pocket of the schools, which is a money that goes to non-classroom spending, and putting it back in the right-hand pocket, which is the classroom spending. And what he doesn't point out is that the total spending on administration in the state is about 9 or 10%, and is lower, even as low as the amount we spend is lower than almost any state. And what he's taking money out of, if he does that, and he's making it far more optional, what he's taking money out of is buses and maintenance and librarians and counselors and any number of absolutely essential services, which ironically are the most essential to students who are low income, who are being hurt most by all of these budget cuts. So it's just a double whammy. And it's simply disingenuous. When he says things like this, he knows that he's playing around, playing gimmicks. He's not telling the truth. And if he tells the truth, fine, get it out there. But if he's doing this kind of stuff, it's immoral and reprehensible.
Well, many people are very upset about education. There's going to be a march for education from Tucson High to the UA Festival of Books. That's coming up on Saturday, which happens to be your birthday. So good timing for you, David Sevier.
That's going to be starting at Tucson High. And if you want to know more about it, there's a new website up, which is called Arizona Stands Up, with an S on standsup.org or .com. So if you go to arizonastandsup.com or arizonastandsup.org, you can find the details about that and other things that are going on, and the slogan, which is education, not incarceration, which I totally agree with.
All right. Jim Kelly is with us on the live line. Jim, go ahead. You're with David Sevier.
Good afternoon, David. Good to talk to you.
Good afternoon, Sam.
Hey, you know, one of the things about that interview this morning with the governor that Christy Simone brought up, he said, you know, when you cut a percentage of a district's budget by 5%, they don't fire assistant superintendents. They fire teachers, and they fire people who help the classroom, whether it be janitors or lunch program people or whatever, and librarians. So I wanted to, you know, get your feeling about that. But there's one other thing I wanted to talk about, and that's the Wallet Hub poll that said Tucson is the 12th best city in the country because we spend more. We're the fifth largest spenders on education in Tucson of 65 other cities. So we're spending more on education, but are we getting more for our buck? And those are two issues that we need to take a hard look at. Administrative cost, and where's our money going in Tucson if we're number five in the nation?
Let's take the second first. I haven't seen the Wallet Hub poll or whatever is
survey,
the top,
yeah,
the ranking, but I know those things are done very, very casually, you know, the best sports city and the best eating and things like that, and they're done with a very thin layer of statistics, so I'd have to see that to see if it's true, and honestly, I doubt if the per student spending in Tucson is somewhere in the top 25 or 26, and it depends on how that's done. As for administrators, you're probably right that if money is cut, there won't be that much cut in administration. But my feeling is, as much as I was always a thorn in the side of administrators, I have to say, when I was a teacher, because they have to be kept honest, and I always felt that there was a bit of fat amongst administration, I also always felt that if you made a cut here and a snip here and a nip and tuck there, it would make an insignificant amount of difference in the district. You take an administrator's salary and you see how many teachers it'll get versus how many schools there are in the district, and it wouldn't even cut one student per classroom. So this is a red herring. It's used often by the conservative media to try to change the subject. The subject is, Ducey said that we have a below average spending in the classroom, and he's worried about that. But the fact that we have a below average spending, period, again, that's disingenuous because he doesn't mention it. Not just below average, but the third or fourth worst in the country in per student spending.
David, you've been writing about Star of the Beast. What is that?
Well, yeah, I wrote a post about that. It's an old Republican standby, which is if you take government and you put less money in the coffers, in other words, you cut taxes, then what happens is you can say justifiably, listen, we don't have enough money. And to be honest, people like me fighting for more money for education are always going to lose, more or less, will always lose out, because the people at Phoenix can say, listen, there's only so much money. We can cut this, give a little bit more to education, but you can't possibly put enough in there because the budget is too low. And the problem is that really we have such an unfair tax system in this state that we can generate a great deal more revenue without touching the middle class and without touching the poor simply by making a fairer tax revenue base. People have been ducking and dodging, including Democrats, the issue that we need to restructure taxes and bring in more tax revenue. It's time to stop ducking and dodging, because otherwise we will never fund services at the level they need to be funded, because you just say, there's not enough money. And you're right. But the question is, why isn't there enough money? That's got to be addressed.
I think you're right. We need a total restructuring of our tax system in the state. But that, it's just like, there just doesn't seem to be, as you say, Democrats or Republicans, just not the political will to do that, David.
Well, let me give you a statistic from a group that's called the Keystone Research Center, who just did something. They talk about the percentage of income that people spend in this state on total state and local taxes. That would be income tax and sales tax and property tax and bonding and everything. So they say if you're in the top 1%, you spend about 5% of your income on state and local taxes. If you're in the middle class, more like 8%. If you're in the lower class, the bottom 20% of income, you spend over 12%. So somebody with 20% on the lowest 20% spends 2 to 3 times more of their total income as a percentage than people in the top 1%. That's just not right. The people with the least discretionary money have to spend the highest percentage of it. You change that, you add $1 billion to $2 billion to our total revenue if you make the 1% pay only as much as being paid by the middle class and the lower class. That doesn't sound like class warfare. That doesn't sound like going after the rich. It sounds like a fair share and a fair tax to me.
790-2040, 790-2040. Comments for David talking about education. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's not too early to make Memorial Day plans. It's the big Silver City Blues Festival. This is a huge event. They have some of the top blues performers from all over the United States that will be converging the Memorial Day weekend on Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So what a great way to kind of get away from it all. That great mile-high elevation climate should be perfect in late May. For more information about Silver City in Grant County, visit southwestnewmexico.org. That's the place for all the great places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Continental Divide RV Park. We'll be right back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
At Perfection Auto Works, we can do everything from a simple tune-up, oil change, air conditioning, engine rebuild, or brakes. We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo, BMW, and Mercedes. We work on the whole thing, from the tires to the trunk lock. 323-8650, 323-8650. Our free 26-point inspection looks ahead for problems. 323-8650, that's 323-8650.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847. See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you'd like to call in on the live line and make a comment to David Safir, who blogs about education at the Tucson Weekly, tucsonweekly.com. He also writes a column for the Explorer newspaper. David, I think this is a very interesting development that Mark Killian, who is the chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, is now saying the board, he's urging his colleagues, I guess he doesn't have the authority to bring the suit himself, but he will need the Board of Regents' approval to sue the state legislature for more funding for universities.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The first thing that's interesting before we mention the suit itself is that Mark Killian is a Republican, and he had been the Speaker of the House. Is that right?
Yeah, he was Speaker of the House.
He was Speaker of the House in Phoenix. So this is not a liberal or a renegade. Mm-hmm. This has got someone who's right in the center of the Republican Party with Republican values. And yet he's saying that if the Constitution says that education should be, and this is his quote, as nearly free as possible, that when you keep on cutting the amount that the government gives and students' tuition goes up and up and up, that's not nearly free as possible. Bill, I usually don't play this when I was a boy thing, but when I was a college student in California in the 60s, we paid about $30, $40 a semester for University of California, one of the great universities. Certainly University of Arizona is a fine university as well. That's what we paid, and that's something like what it should be. The state colleges were less, and the city colleges, which were the community colleges, scot-free. You buy your books, period. Education is not simply for the people who go there, though we should be supporting our young people anyway. It's for all of us, and to the extent that we make this onerous and give them all kinds of loans they have to pay back, which I don't know if you saw in the paper this morning, but Obama is talking about figuring out a way to make these college loans somewhat less onerous, which is absolutely essential. If we don't do that, we're shooting ourselves in the foot, basically.
Frankly, David, I am surprised this has not gone to a suit before, because that clause, as nearly free as possible has been interpreted so many different ways from the Arizona Constitution. And you have the House Speaker, David Gowan, who was quoted in the Howard Fisher Capital News, Capital Media Services piece in the Star, saying Mr. Gowan said, it doesn't say it has to be free, saying the state is dealing with a deficit and saying that we're restructuring our budget. We're making it as free as possible as we can. You talk about something that is subjective language.
Well, there we go again with the we're doing the best we can that I talked about earlier. The whole idea that you starve the budget and then you say, I'm sorry, we can't do any more, when of course you can do more by increasing the amount of revenue that comes in a way that doesn't harm or affect even the middle class or lower class. But, you know, let's remember, this is a second suit. There's a suit for K-12 education, which tells the state pay up $330 million now and keep on paying that amount, plus a total of $1 billion that you're in arrears, and they haven't paid that up. And now he's talking about another one. So that's a suit K through PhD education suing the state, rightfully. And I hope it happens. I hope Killian can figure out a way to convince the board to do it.
790-2040, 790-2040. If there's something that you've heard David Safir say during his interview today that really has got you, is bugging you, give us a call right now, and now is your chance to have your say with David Safir. I believe Dan is with us. Dan would like to comment about education. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for your program. But
thank you.
I really wish that we'd get an opposing view for some of these people that you get on. It sounds like that this fellow you're talking to has spent his whole life absorbing taxpayers' money without ever putting anything in, and now he's just complaining and complaining and complaining to get more and more and more for a school system that doesn't even give our kids a rudimentary education. I have to hire these kids. On your program, you should get more businessmen who hire these so-called students out of high school who can't even do rudimentary math or write a business letter or be nice to people. They have no manners. They're mostly narcissistic. And I can see why, because we have people in our education system like this who, if they know so much, they should be running for...
Sir, let me interrupt you.
Yeah,
for
go
a
ahead.
You, would you say that a policeman or a fireman has been taking money from the state and giving nothing back? I can't even tell you how much I resent that. The amount of work and the amount of time and the amount of my personal love and care and anxiety and presence that I've given to literally thousands of students over my 30 plus years teaching high school, in the same way that a good policeman, a good fireman, a good civil servant in any sense gives back to the community, I've given back for every penny I have earned, and I made considerably less than friends of mine who had the same education, the same skills, the same intelligence that I did because of that.
Yeah, it sounds like Dan was inferring that you've never paid taxes. I don't know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What about the state opting out of this? The House has approved an assessment test that, basically parents would be allowed to say yes or no on the...
Yeah,
high-stakes testing.
I support it. A number of progressives support it. Interestingly enough, if you look at the vote, and it was passed something like 35-24 in the House and is going on to the Senate, the vote was Republicans voting for it and Democrats voting against it, and I'm a good Democrat, but it's a very funny issue. The Republicans consider it an anti-Common Core issue, and I consider it an issue of high-stakes tests and yearly high-stakes tests hurting our children, our educational system. So I strongly support it. I support Representative John or Chris Ackerley, either he uses both names, for sponsoring the bill. And I hope it passes, because I think it's an important thing that has to be done here and around the country where there's a huge opt-out movement.
Let's see if we can work in one more call for David Safir. Chris, are you there? Hey, Chris.
Yeah, I'm just listening. I'm off, but I wanted to
defend the last caller, who I thought you kind of rudely dismissed. I thought that gentleman made some good points. I'm not hearing any opposing views to this guest speaker you have today, spending all our tax money and wanting more. I work enough with the schools. I haven't listened to your whole show today, but did your guy talk about how much of any of our school money goes to low-income lunches, breakfast, transportation, bikini beach, all that stuff that is going to low-income? How much of that school money goes to that? And is there ever any requirements from these parents that get those extra services to clean up the school grounds or anything like that? Where is the payback? I just see a lot of entitlement mentality in this whole...
Okay. Sorry, Chris. I didn't want to cut you off, but I'm literally out of time. Go ahead.
I almost don't know how to respond. We come from such completely different views on this. We as a society want to bring everyone to the highest educational level possible, and if that requires that people who are low income, who come to school without food in their bellies, get some money, that there's more social services brought, this is something that the society should do. If we're a caring society, we're not a third world country, we're a very wealthy country, and we can afford to do it and should.
All right, David Zephyr, blogs for the TucsonWeekly.com. Thank you, David. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Big shout out to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. I've checked out Mike's operation. Strongly recommend this locally owned Tucson business for all of your automotive needs. It's PerfectionAutoWorks.com. For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, and then the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone. Ed Alexander and me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04 tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson.